Sure, other stations promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning. Good morning, Charlotte.
Good morning.
Welcome to Friday, May 9th. It is Friday indeed.
And it's almost your birthday.
It is. You remember.
Birthday weekend.
Yes, it is. I know. It hasn't dawned on me that it is my birthday tomorrow. Because, you know, I was raised, I guess in the beginning we made big deals out of it. But as we got older, my parents never made a big deal out of birthdays.
Right.
So we turned out the same way, you know.
Yep.
It's like, okay, it's your birthday, you know.
Uh-huh.
But then people shower you with attention and stuff. And it's really cool, you know.
Yeah.
It's really nice. So
it is, especially on something like Facebook now. I mean, you get all these posts from people. And I really like it.
I know. It's like that way you remember everybody's birthday, you know.
Right? That's true, too.
I know. Who would remember? I would forget my own birthday. Are you kidding? Now with Facebook, you're reminded.
Right.
Some people wish you happy birthday a week in advance.
I know.
I don't know what it is with people. They have nothing to do other than to look to see upcoming birthdays a week in advance.
Yep.
Yeah.
And because Facebook does that now. It tells you, like, oh, tomorrow's birthday. Oh, birthday's in the next week. And it's like,
right. Okay,
I just need to know the day off.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I don't know what the point is, but yeah, people do write it before, which is fine, you know. I mean, mm-hmm. as long as they give you some attention, what the hell, you know. So, so we'll see. I don't know. We're going to go out tomorrow with friends and family and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't decided where yet, you know.
Yeah.
And that's where I am, always leaving it to the last minute and then there's nowhere to go, you know. You need reservations and stuff.
Mm-hmm, especially on Saturday night.
Yeah, I know. So I better call today, right?
Yeah.
If there's still anything left. But
you could make a reservation at 3 and then you could pick the last one, the one tomorrow.
Really?
So that you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Reserve like your top 3 places and then tomorrow.
Oh, I see.
And
okay,
then,
I see what you mean.
So you can have all 3.
That's true, yeah.
And then you can pick the one last minute.
That's true, yeah. Well, no, I mean, if I decide, I may as well decide now.
Yep.
This is the last minute.
That's true.
Not many, many, many minutes left. So, you know, you get to my age, you're not really looking forward to your birthdays. You know, it just reminds you you're getting older and stuff.
Aww.
And, but no, I mean, I'm not bitching, you know. It's because, these years are really some of the best in my life, you know.
Yeah.
So I can't complain and stuff. And
that's good.
Yeah, you know. It's just that, you know, your parents are getting older and stuff, and then mm-hmm. you start thinking about things, you know.
No, definitely.
And, but otherwise, life is good. I'm really happy, you know.
Good.
Yeah, so I can't complain, you know. I mean, I've had my 30s were actually tough for me, you know, dealing with all kinds of things and stuff. But but then things picked up, you know. Yeah.
It's the later years that are supposed to be the happiest years.
Yeah, but you know what? It's not necessarily so. I mean, look how some people succeed so early in their life.
I know.
You
and
know?
Then they struggle.
Yeah.
With the fame or the money or then the depreciation of
right. So it's a question of fate and stuff, you know, and what you're born with, what you're born into. And you know, when I went to that Kabbalah lady, she was explaining it, you know, how we have different cycles in our life. So, and not everybody's is the same, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So and besides, you know, they say in the later years, I think they mean like 70s, 80s. You know?
True.
Don't make me seem that old.
Happy,
yeah.
Doing nothing, watching TV. My grandparents live a lovely life of watching TV.
I'm sure.
And they love it. And it's all, every time I speak to them, I mean, I love knowing what's going on in the soaps back home. I mean, I'm never really going to watch them again, but I still want to know. And I know not to call during a certain time because I know they're watching.
Really? So they keep you informed, up to date with the show. Wow. Do you talk to them a lot, like often?
My pop has just got good with email, so that's easier because it's hard to, because I have to Skype call them.
Okay.
So it's hard to get a time.
Right.
I don't talk to them as much as I would like to, but hopefully I'll speak to them today.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm going to San Diego this weekend.
Oh, really?
Again. But for a wedding.
Oh, okay.
So on the way, I'll probably call them.
Okay. Did you find a dress? I know you were looking for a dress, right?
I did.
Did you find something nice?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Good. It's all right.
What is it, black?
No, I felt like I couldn't wear black, you know?
Why?
I don't know. I felt like I would be that morbid person wearing black.
But I thought everybody wears black to
weddings, a wedding?
No?
Really?
No? Well, I don't know. I mean, I know that night, you can't
guys,
go wrong with black.
Yeah, and I guess guys with suits.
Yeah.
But it's like it's a really pretty teal color.
Oh, okay.
It's beautiful. The color is why I got it.
I
don't necessarily like the style,
right?
But the color
but you
is,
like the
yeah,
color,
the
huh?
color is stunning. So I was like, well, at least I like the color.
Yeah. Is this something you'll be able to wear again?
Maybe
if it's
the right event. It's a nice material, but it's kind of longer than I normally wear. Not that I wear super short dresses, but but
what
it's
a shame
nice
to
dress.
Have to buy something for one event. You know,
I mean, I know.
Yeah,
but these days most people only wear dresses once,
right? And then they take it back to the
and
store.
Then, or I'll save it for maybe later in the year,
right?
Because most people, when you take photos in the dress, I know this is so shallow, but when you take photos in a dress and then you wear the same dress like 2 weeks later, people look and they're like, oh,
really?
You wore that dress 2 weeks ago.
And they compare, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, you look better that time.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, did you gain weight?
So I'll wear it again, I'm sure, but probably not for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds good. Well, you know, yeah, weddings are fun. Is it going to be a daytime wedding or a nighttime wedding?
You know, I have no idea.
No? You don't
no
know what
idea.
Time it is.
I'm guessing it's probably mid-afternoon.
Is it indoors, outdoors?
It's
Do you
indoors.
Know that? It is indoors. Okay.
Yeah, it's a really fun group of people, so I'm excited.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah,
okay.
Very excited.
I always feel sorry for people that get married, but, you know, until they find out what they get into.
It's coming into wedding season. I'm going to so many in the next couple
of really?
Months. Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
A lot.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it means people around your age are getting married now.
Well, they're older. They're like late 20s.
Okay. But it's still rushing
but
today.
But still, it was that today. But the rally, yeah, was at 9 a.m. It was on Wilshire. Wilshire Boulevard. And because there's the hashtag Bring Back Our Girls.
Right.
Do you know about this story?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, it's a huge controversy.
Yeah, it's like
the Nigerian government and...
And the rebels, the Islamic rebels
mm-hmm.
and stuff, you
yeah.
know, who want to, they totally oppose Western education. So that's why they got the girls out of their schools and stuff.
Yeah, but I'm guessing that the Nigerian government was tipped off or were told that they would go, that
really?
It's going to be something.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
So now.
And they didn't do anything.
No, they didn't do anything. And I guess their army is only 17 people big. I can't remember exactly
really?
What I read.
In Nigeria?
Yeah. Yeah.
17
so
people?
It was something. It was something like that. I don't quote me exactly, but it was really small. And they didn't feel like they could compete against the other army. And they didn't. I don't know exactly.
Why?
But so they didn't take any.
Any action?
No.
Yeah,
no
but
action.
The U.S. is committed, I think, now
to
trying to,
find,
to secure the girls. So we'll see what happens, you know.
Yeah, because, I mean, there was 200 of them. And I think the Nigerian government have just covered up a lot because when the first statements were released, they only said 100 girls were missing.
Really?
But it was 200.
Right.
And, I mean, a lot of celebrities have got behind this.
Yeah.
Michelle Obama, because a lot of people are posting photos with the hashtag. Bring Back Our Girls.
Oh, okay.
Michelle Obama, Justin Timberlake, Anne Hathaway. That's just a few off the top of my head.
Right.
Khloe Kardashian, Nancy O'Dell, Wendy Williams, Chris Brown. So a lot of people are getting behind it. And I think that's what a story like this needs.
Yeah.
It needs...
The attention,
exactly,
right?
Exactly. And
yeah,
it needs
sympathy.
These big names to... Because that's what attract people, as
yeah,
sad as that
exactly.
is. A rally downtown or wherever it is in Hollywood with Anne Hathaway there, that's probably going to get a lot more people there than if she wasn't there.
That's true.
You know?
That's true, yeah.
Yeah.
Unfortunately so, though. You
yeah.
know? I mean,
oh, definitely.
I think, you know, we take movie stars and musicians and stuff and athletes and we make them into gods, you know? And the thing is, come on, you're just in the spotlight. You're not like... you know.
No, completely.
Yeah, it's not like you're doing something special. I think those salaries should go to teachers and nurses and things like that.
People.
Yeah, people that are helping people and are totally underpaid. But yeah, but that's the reality, you know. The thing is with the missing girls, I guess they threatened to sell them, you know.
Yeah.
And but you know, that's Africa. I think I don't think it's ever gonna get any better, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the Wild West and worse.
Right.
Everybody does whatever they want. There's a lot of like you know, all kinds of sects and cults and groups and
yeah.
you know, and paramilitary, you know, groups that just, you know, try to impose their rules on everybody. And in Africa, many people are helpless, you know, they're not educated, they're not strong in any way, and they get taken advantage of, you know.
Yeah.
So it's you know, I mean, if it's not Nigeria, it's the next country over, it's always something going on mm-hmm. there, you know.
Definitely.
Yeah. I feel I'm going to fall asleep in 2 minutes. I can't tell you how tired I was this morning.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I got about 4.5 hours maybe of sleep. So I, and mind you, it's not like I have to anymore. I mean, the mm-hmm. station's up there, you know?
Yeah.
But I just like, I take time to do research and stuff, and I forget myself, and I go, okay, another half hour,
right.
and then it's 3 o'clock. So, so today was so hard to get up, but then I realized
wow.
also, well, we do have a guest we're going to call in a couple of minutes. And I also realized that the maid is coming today, so I wouldn't get to sleep in anyway, you know.
Oh,
I'd
yeah.
have to get up anyway, so I might as well just come in and do the show, you
yeah.
know. But I'm like, you know, bumping against walls and everything.
Yeah.
So I'll have to go take a nap after
and
this.
And you need lots of caffeine.
Yeah. I know. I had one cup. I have some here, but... I don't really use caffeine to wake me up, you know. I just
mm-hmm.
I just drink it because I'm used to it.
Yeah.
You know? But I guess it does help, except for today, you know. Today I'm ultra tired, I think.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Well, it's a good job it's the weekend.
Yeah, exactly.
So you can sleep in.
And if I doze off here, just wake me up.
Okay,
you know?
I will do. Hopefully I don't bore you that much that you fall asleep.
No, so in a couple of minutes we're gonna call our guest, whose name is Dale Brown, and people that like to read will probably be familiar with the name. He wrote a new book. He writes techno thrillers is what they call them.
Yeah.
And so I like these kind of books and stuff, and we'll see what the latest one is. Usually he's on the New York best-selling list on top, so I think he's going to do pretty well.
Yeah, it says here he's published 11 bestsellers in 11 years.
Wow. That's
wow.
a lot of books. You
yeah.
know? Yeah, so we'll ask him.
There's
about
a lot
that.
Of books, yeah. a lot of writing.
I know. So so cool. So you're going to San Diego for the entire weekend then?
Yes,
okay,
I am
cool.
till Sunday.
Yeah.
I leave in a couple, well, probably 3 or 4 hours.
Yeah, San Diego's fun, huh?
It is, and it's not too far away. Well, I think it's actually Temecula, like close to Temecula.
Okay.
It's not necessarily San Diego.
Okay.
So
it's before San Diego.
It's right before San Diego, but it's actually going to take as long to get there because we have to go, it's like... go around rather than just down to San Diego.
Oh, wow.
So when I looked, I was like, oh, it's still going to take us 2 hours? Like, oh, that's annoying.
I know. And that's 2 hours when the traffic is good, you know?
I know.
It could take you 2.5 and 3 hours sometimes. I know sometimes, a couple times when I came back from San Diego, there were parts on the freeway where the traffic just stopped. And you're like, my God, man, I got like a couple hundred miles to drive and I'm sitting here in traffic.
Stood still. But what I don't get with traffic is when, well, firstly, it drives me crazy when there's an accident and it's all backed up. And as soon as you get past the accident, it's free because people just want to slow down and look at the accident.
Right.
Secondly, I hate the fact when you're going 70 miles an hour and then in 10 yards, you're going 5 miles an hour.
Right.
Like, what is going on for us to do this?
Yeah.
It drives me crazy.
Yeah. Well, I'll explain that to you because I've done some reading on that stuff.
Oh, really?
And it's very interesting. Yeah.
Oh, I'd like to know.
I get like a whole book called Traffic, and it's amazing. The facts and stuff that we don't think about when we drive, but it's amazing. You know, if it, especially in the car culture that we have here in LA
mm-hmm.
makes a lot of sense. It answers a lot of questions, you know, like why do we have the meter at the freeway when you go, you know, on the on-ramp and stuff. There's a stoplight,
I feel like that's
right?
more dangerous.
Right. But it's, I'll explain it to you,
okay.
But let's call our guest right now. We're going to call the author, Dale Brown. His new book is Starfire. And I thought I brought up his website here. Let me see if I can find it real quick.
Hi, this is Dale.
Yes, Dale. Dale Brown, good morning to you. This is Sam and Charlotte calling you from LA Talk Radio. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing terrific. How are you?
We're doing great. You've been on the show a couple of years ago, and you keep writing books, so we keep inviting you on the show, you know?
Excellent.
Yeah,
<it. laughs>
you don't let us rest for a little bit. So, yeah. What part of the country are we calling you in?
I'm in Lake Tahoe, Nevada.
Oh, nice.
Wow. Beautiful. You sure know how? Is this where you live?
Yes, full time.
Wow. Well, you know, you sure know how to live, let me tell you. How long have you lived there, Dale?
I've been here, let's see, my son is 17, so 17 years now.
Oh, wow. And where did you live before that?
Sacramento, California, and I'm originally from Buffalo, New York.
Oh, wow. So all over.
Made the trip over to California.
Right.
Yep. Sacramento, Mather Air Force Base was my first military assignment.
Yeah.
And then after I got out of the Air Force, I went back to Sacramento, and that's where I started my writing career.
Wow.
And then just always loved Lake Tahoe. I used to come up here during leave and on breaks, and always dreamed about living and writing up in Lake Tahoe. Now I'm lucky enough to be able to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, if I recall correctly, you were a fighter jet pilot, right?
I was a bomber, a navigator in the B-52 bomber.
A bomber.
And then a radar navigator, bombardier in the FB-111, a supersonic bomber.
Wow. And during what years was that?
Started in 1978, and I got out in 1986.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So when you go to the Air Force and you're a pilot, you have to commit for a while, right?
Yes. You have to commit for at least 8 years.
8 years.
So after you finish training, it's about 7 years after that, and I just said, well, there's a whole variety of reasons why I got out. I love flying in the Air Force. I would have done it for free, but they were really, after Vietnam, of course, they were really cutting back on flying hours and giving us flyers additional duties that had very little to do with flying. So I just, I really wanted to jump into writing and see if I can make a living at it. And I've been lucky enough. The other two things I've always wanted to do in my life is fly and write. And I've been lucky enough to do both for a living.
That's great. Did you write before you left the military? Did you know that was what you wanted to do after? Well, I guess you said you wanted to write.
Well, I've been writing for many, many years. I wrote in high school. I had a column in the Penn State University newspaper. I've written for computer magazines and all different sorts of publications, but Flight of the Old Dog was my first novel, the first piece of fiction I ever wrote. But I started that when I was in the Air Force. Of course, Flight of the Old Dog, like most novelists' first novel, is a fantasy autobiography. Flight of the Old Dog is about the navigator who takes control of the B-52 and saves his crew and saves the world. So that was my first novel that I wrote. Started it when I was in the Air Force, and started marketing it just before I got out of the Air Force, and then about 6 months after I got out of the Air Force is when it finally sold and got published. And since then, it's been one book a year since I got out of the Air Force.
Wow! So you put yourself on a schedule, and you don't let it get away from you, huh? I mean, you say a book a year, and that's it.
Well, I try to do that. I've been slowing down a little bit over the years, but I try to do it one book a year, and I love doing it. I mean, I don't know where it comes from. I never took a creative writing class. I've
really?
Always enjoyed writing, but I never really believed I'd make a living at it and be able to live up in Lake Tahoe and raise a family up here. I realize how fortunate I am to be able to do it, and I'm having a blast.
I know. It really is an ultimate dream, you know, to end up in a nice place and just sit back and write and stuff. And it's amazing all the ideas that come to you, you know. I mean, it's not simple. Your books are pretty complex and involved and stuff. Go ahead.
I think it's all the stuff that's going on in the world right now. You know, just after the Cold War ended, you know, my early books were all the U.S. versus the Soviet Union. They were all very much Cold War books. And after the Cold War ended and the Soviet Union went away, I was afraid I wouldn't have anything to write about. But as we've seen, the military conflicts and geopolitical crises always seem to crop up, and there's no end to the source of ideas I have for new novels. Now it's China and the South China Sea, which was the subject of Tiger's Claw, my last novel, and now it has to do with space and the rise of the Russian Federation, and that's what Starfire is about.
Wow. Yeah, so tell us a little bit about Starfire. So this has to do with modern Russian military?
Yes, yeah. Okay. Starfire has to do with an arms race in space between the U.S. and Russia.
Oh, wow.
And I wanted to look at exactly what would happen if the United States allowed its domination of space technology, access to space, if we allowed that to deteriorate while countries like Russia and China continue to build up their space assets.
Right.
And exactly what's happening in Starfire, it seems to be what's happening now. We're paying the Russians to let us fly up to the International Space Station. We're paying $50 million a person one way to have to go up to the International Space Station. It's just crazy because the United States allowed the space shuttle program to end without having a good replacement for it. So now we're relying on the Russians for access to the International Space Station, and that's going to continue for at least five more years until either they develop some other system or private companies step up and start building systems where astronauts can make it up to space.
Really,
we have nothing. We have several things on the drawing boards, but nothing will be ready for at least 5 years.
Wow. So I mean, it doesn't really make sense. I mean, don't people wonder how come America, the United States, to this day have not put a space station up there?
Well, we've participated in the International Space Station, and that the U.S. contribution to the International Space Station was a byproduct of Skylab and other programs that we had developed over the years. So we have the technology and we have the know-how to do it. But since the International Space Station, we don't have any other American astronauts in orbit right now. You know, we have no way to put them up unless we ask the Russians to do it for us. So we need to get going on. We need to recommit on access to space for the United States. We don't have to restrict other nations, but it's like the U.S. Navy's responsibility to the seven seas. You know, we dominate the world's oceans, but we don't deny access to it. We want to make sure every nation has access to the world's oceans. So that's why we have the U.S. Navy out there right now, having a presence in all the oceans of the world.
Yeah.
We want to do the same thing in space, but we're not doing it because we haven't made a commitment to space, and we need to do that as soon as possible.
Wow. Very interesting stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's like it goes on around you, but you don't really know about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and nevertheless, I can see where dominating space can really give a country a military advantage. You know,
absolutely.
Yeah.
That's the new high ground right now. That's what we need to do in order to maintain our status as a superpower. And if we fail to do it, we're going to lose our status as a superpower. It's really as simple as that. And
right. And
we're seeing that happen already. And I describe how it could happen and how it could negatively impact the United States if we continue to allow it to happen. And that's what Starfire is about. Starfire is about a group of college students who design an orbiting solar power plant, but the rest of the world, especially Russia, realizes what we're doing, and they take steps to stop it. And that's really what's happening now. And in the meantime, countries like Russia and China are developing their own space programs, and they're developing their own military weapons in space, and we're really not doing anything to stop them or to try to catch up with them.
Wow. And that's going to come back to haunt us in a few years,
yeah.
right? Down
absolutely,
the road.
Absolutely. If we don't change our course, right now. We took our eyes off the ball, of course, dealing with terrorism after 9/11. That certainly mm-hmm. certainly changed the whole perspective. But now we need to get back to the things that are important, the other things that could really destroy the United States of America. Terrorism is important. Fighting and finding Al-Qaeda is very important. Other nations that are irritants that could be threats in the future, like North Korea and Iran, is important. But there's only one nation of the world that can destroy the United States of America that has always had that ability and still has it, right. And that's Russia.
Right.
And we need to stop fighting the wars of the past and start planning for the wars of the future. And unfortunately, that future conflict that's so important to the United States is a conflict with Russia. And we're starting to see Russia start to shake off its 1990s mentality.
Right.
After the collapse of the Soviet Union, they went into a 10-year long funk, but they're out of it now.
Right. So they're back to who they used to be.
We need to do something about it.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and that's what I'm saying. I mean, Russians have always been Russians. It doesn't matter if it's the Soviet Union or not. But this is the, I think that paranoid attitude they have. And they always need to, and they always do what they want to do. The rest of the world be damned, you know.
And you look at the geopolitical realities, and you understand why. It's not just the Russians are evil, or the whole evil empire. If you look at the geography of Russia, and you look at the history of Russia, and they've been invaded many, many, many times, and so they're. Their need to build up buffers around to the edge of their country in order to protect themselves from other nations is very important to them. So that's why we're seeing them do what they're doing in Ukraine right now, because if they allowed Ukraine to shift over towards the West, that would be bad for them. That would allow NATO and other countries to get even closer and closer to their capital. So they're not going to allow that to happen. And it's not that they're evil. It's just that because of geography, mostly, they have to build up buffer states around them, so they're going to continually press forward to build those buffer states.
Very interesting.
So they're going to do it because they need to do it to survive. It's not that they're evil or that Putin is any different than any other
leader,
Russian or Soviet president. They have to do it to survive.
Right.
And we have to be ready for that.
When you're writing these books, in the back of your head, are you kind of creating these scenarios, like the worst case scenario that could happen, hoping that someone that has the power to kind of change what's going to happen in space and our way of fighting things, to hope that they will see it and realize what could happen?
Well, I'm asked that a lot, especially when I write about things like terrorism. You know, if a bad guy reads my book, then won't that give them idea to do the same act of terrorism? That those ideas already exist. You know,
right.
We were
yeah.
A lot of people were shocked after 9/11. They flew airliners into buildings and used airliners as weapons. But that's happened before. So it's really nothing new. When I write about it, it's because most of the things that I write about, especially military technology, is all based on stuff that's out there right now or that's just coming off the drawing boards. They're in the laboratories. They're being tested out in the field. I don't really make this stuff up. So I've already researched it. I've already looked at it. If I can, I go to visit the labs and I visit the military bases to see this stuff work. So it's already out there, and I'm doing the research, and I find it, and I see how this new technology can apply to conflicts that could happen in the very near future.
Right.
And
yeah.
I've been very lucky over the years. I look forward at new technology. I wrote about laser guided weapons long before the Gulf War. I wrote about GPS, the global positioning satellite navigation system, long before the Constellation was up there. So I've been lucky enough to look at this technology and then look at future conflict areas and put the two together. And And I'm going to continue to do that for the next 20 years at least.
Wow. Dale Brown, best-selling author. The new book is Starfire. That's your 25th novel.
25th novel, yep.
Wow. You sure have a body of work, you know. And it's going to live on forever, which is really cool. That's why I like books so much, you know. They're timeless.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I think it will. I can't believe myself that Flood of the Old Dog came out 27 years ago. So it's just amazing. But yes, the characters do live on. Now, Starfire represents the first book of the next generation of characters. Bradley McClanahan is the son of Patrick McClanahan, the character that I've used in most of my previous novels, 20 of the previous novels.
Wow.
But now it's time for Patrick's son to step up. And the cool thing about that is that Patrick McClanahan started out as a fully formed character. He was already an adult. He was already in the Air Force. And everybody knew what to expect from Patrick. He was the hero. He was the main character. So everybody sort of knew and expected him to do what he does. Bradley is different. His son is different. He's not necessarily going to follow in his father's footsteps and be a clone of his father. And the neat thing is I get to develop that character now over the years. All of my characters start out at a certain age and they age one book per year. So they don't jump around in age. They don't jump from being very young to very old or I try to progress them once per year.
Right.
So that's what I'm going to do with Bradley. And I want my readers to be surprised. I want my readers to contribute to what happens with Bradley. But I want to make sure that he's not just another clone of his father. He's going to have his own ideas about things like the military, about geopolitics, about his own future. And it may or may not have anything to do with the Air Force or with the military.
Right. So it's not just the technology. You also put a human touch to it and that sort of thing. So that's pretty cool. Everybody go out and get Starfire. Mr. Brown, Dale Brown, thank you so much for taking
thank
the time
you.
With us this morning.
Thank you very much for having me on the show.
Of course. And we'll definitely check out the book. I love stuff like that. I love
Great.
Stuff like that.
I hope you enjoy it.
Well, we will, for sure. So, Dale, thank you again, and all the best. Much success with the books.
Thank you very much. I'd love to do the show again.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Wow. It's I like to talk to people who've written, like, a lot, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's like, you know, sometimes you think, I want to write a book. I could write a novel, but to write 25 of them, I mean, how do you come up with the stories, you know?
In one a year, it's just, that's a lot.
Right.
And fiction is different. When you're writing a nonfiction, you base off things that have happened in your life. But fiction, right. It's like you have to come up with a genuinely new idea that people are going to want to read.
Right.
But this is the kind of stuff I feel like people do want to read because
right.
I can totally see how it's New York bestselling.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's not aimed at everybody, you know, mm-hmm. but I mean, mostly men who are into this stuff, I'm sure. But yeah, it's action stuff, you know,
yeah.
So it's really cool, and I enjoy it. So so we had him back on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, a few things.
Wait, I want to know about cars.
Oh, yeah, about the cars, right. Okay, so thanks for reminding me. So I'll give you some facts from the traffic book. But the thing is that, you know, first of all, they talk about how driving, when you're on the road, you're amongst a large number of people that you don't know. Everybody's strangers, mm-hmm. and you can't communicate with them, you know, because everybody's
yeah.
in their own car. So you try to read each other's minds. And, you know, so that's why sometimes people cut you off. You think it's for a certain reason. They do it because it's totally something else and
yeah.
stuff, you know. So when you start understanding that and stuff, it makes it a little easier for you, you
right.
know. So now the what happens with the on-ramp, what do they call them?
I don't know. What you get on the highway.
Yeah, they're like, oh, meter. They call it meters.
Okay.
And what it does is that I'm sure many places don't have them, but here in Southern California we do. And you go on the on-ramp, and there's actually a stoplight that makes cars go one at a time into the freeway, one at a time. And the reason is that, you know, obviously it scatters the traffic, you know, so you don't get like, you know, every exit you get this like, and it still happens, you know, it still happens. But when there's heavy traffic, but for the most part, sometimes, you know, people will wonder, well, how come it's working if the traffic is flowing? And what they say is the traffic is flowing because it's working.
Right.
You know, because we have that. So, and then another thing on the freeway, you wonder why you go so fast and then suddenly you have to stop.
Yeah, it drives me insane.
Right. Now, think about it this way. Let's say, and the faster people go and the closer they get to each other, the more profound it's going to be. Because think about it this way. Let's say you have 10 people running behind each other and there's only like a foot between them. Now, think of the first one slowing down a little bit. Not even braking, just slowing down. Suddenly, everybody has to, right?
Right.
They almost bump into him and stuff. And the longer the line is, the more it's going to happen. Yeah, exactly. And it's going to take longer. So there's a few theories, but the one that makes more sense to me, it's like a spring. You know, where a spring, you can squeeze it, and then it opens up again. And that's what happens with the traffic. It's like, you stop and then you go again. And then you stop and then you go again, you know. And sometimes you'll go 80 miles an hour, suddenly it's zero.
Right.
You know, and it's crazy, but these things, when you start observing them, it's fascinating to know what the city engineers have to deal with, you know, like traffic lights and stuff, right? I mean, I'm sure you were at a stoplight and you felt the lights could work differently, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, yes, you know, every direction has to wait their turn and stuff at a crossroad. But at the same time, they really have to figure it out, you know?
Yeah.
They have to figure out when is the traffic heavy, when is it not. I like that they have the meters on the road where they can tell, you know, if there's more traffic or less traffic and stuff, and adjust the lights accordingly. And it bothers me when they don't, you know, because sometimes you'll be driving like late at night, there's no cars, and and the light turns red on a small street where there's no cars there. You know,
and you're stuck, what's the point? 4 minutes.
Yeah, you know, or it feels that way,
yeah.
You know. But I got to tell you, most lights are like 30 seconds, 15 seconds, 30 seconds, or a minute. But it always seems like forever, right?
Oh my gosh, it does.
Yeah.
Always.
And it's not that long. And I get very discouraged when I see a lot of traffic. I'm like, wow, man, let me get out of here.
Yeah.
You know? You feel really helpless.
Let me try and find another way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You feel really helpless
completely.
When you're stuck in traffic. You know?
It's the worst. And it's just frustrating.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I mean, have you dealt with bad traffic before? Because I know every major city has bad traffic, but nothing's like LA, huh?
No, but honestly, I really don't drive in rush hour here.
Really?
And I really don't drive. If I am, I don't drive far. So I'm really lucky that I don't really get stuck in it.
Yeah.
I've never been sat in traffic where it's taken me like 2 hours to get somewhere.
Really?
No.
Well, you're lucky.
Touch wood.
Yeah,
touch wood.
I'm telling you. Sometimes it does happen, man.
I know. There is one day when I was going up the 405 and there was a wreck and I stood still for, I think, maybe an hour.
Really? Wow.
But, yeah, so I guess I have sat in traffic.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I can't say I've never sat in traffic. But not like rush hour, like in the middle of rush hour in LA. I haven't really... I try and avoid at all costs, and I would rather drive somewhere earlier and hang out for a bit than get stuck in rush hour, and it takes so long.
Right.
Yeah.
You see, because you think in a healthy way. Many people don't. They're just I'll leave 15 minutes before I'm supposed to get there, not taking into account the traffic get in the way, you know. So that's why sometimes people are late here in L.A., and they give you the excuse of traffic, which doesn't fly with me.
Worst excuse ever.
It really is. You know, I mean, I always say I've lived here over 30 years. I've never been late to anything.
Yeah.
And I deal with the same traffic that everybody else does, you know. So, Now, so I wanted to bring up yesterday's show because you were like a deer stuck in the headlights. You didn't know what hit you yesterday.
I didn't. I wasn't expecting
we
that.
We had two porn stars here. I mean, I didn't even know what to expect because I thought, you know, maybe they'll go with the flow and see how the tone of the show and everything. But they're like 2 minutes later, whip up their boobs and everything, you know, for us to look at. And Charlotte is like, what's going on? You know, and I'm sure you've seen boobs before, but to be surprised in the studio like
yeah,
this.
Yeah, huh? And like, obviously I swam. I grew up at like, I mean, it's like 10 girls in a locker room, more, 20 girls in a locker room. Like,
right,
you
all
know,
naked and
but
stuff.
Yeah, but it's different.
It's different.
It's like you're just getting out from practice, you're getting changed, getting ready to go home. Like,
right. And that's the environment where people would expect it.
Exactly,
to be
yeah. In a sports locker room, like that's what you expect.
Exactly, and not here,
but,
you know.
No, that wasn't what I was expecting yesterday.
So I sat here enjoying feasting my eyes on that, and you sat here like, what the hell is going on? So it'll definitely give you an experience. And I thought, you know, I mean, this show is about everybody, you
definitely.
Know. And I like to have different people and stuff to
yeah,
see
for sure.
How they live. And you can see that people, you know, they seem normal on the one hand, mm-hmm. you know. I mean, you know, she's been married twice. She's got 4 kids.
Right.
And we didn't even talk about the fact that she goes to school. I mean,
yeah.
we mentioned it, but she's going to college. You know,
right.
I guess I gathered from what she said that she's about 29 or 30. Allison
yeah.
was.
She's turning 30 this week. Yeah.
Right. So she's got 4
this
kids.
Year,
I mean,
sorry.
1 kid, it's like, how do you manage a
right.
career and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And that's a demanding career in porn mm-hmm. and stuff. And, yeah, you know, another question is how she's going to deal with it when the kids grow up. And I'm sure it goes through their mind, you know?
Yeah.
Like, what's going to happen? But
definitely.
But they have their way of thinking, you know? Mm-hmm. I couldn't think in that way, you know? I could never get into porn. And sometimes it's tempting. You go, wow, look at all the sex they're having. But you know what? If you need to have sex, get a lot of sex without being on camera, you know? What's the point of being on camera, you know?
How?
Because
I know
for free.
They're 2 hosts on Radio Temptation.
Right.
How is everything going good?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of stuff like this going
wow.
on there, as you might imagine. And they're threatening to make it a lot worse, so we'll see. You know, I mean, so far it was just taking off clothes, but if they start getting into some action, I'm going to throw them out the window, man. There's no way, you know. But yeah, it's fun, you know. I mean, it's different.
Something
it's different.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
different. It's not for everybody.
Yeah.
That's for sure, you know. And, but, I mean, so, I mean, you're like... So you are you like uncomfortable around sex talk and stuff like that, even in your personal life?
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I know.
I've
you
never,
seem like so goody
like
two-shoes, you know? Like so innocent and stuff. Come on.
I mean, with my girlfriends, like, uh-huh. but it's maybe only like 2 or 3 that I'm super open with.
Right.
I'm kind of, not that I'm closed off, but it takes me a little
You're
while.
Uncomfortable.
To, yeah, to fully open up.
Right.
But I. Yeah, so I guess so, maybe.
Yeah.
But I need to broaden my horizons.
Yeah, well, that's true, yeah. But that's okay. I mean, that's your upbringing and everything, your outlook on life.
Yeah.
And it's good, you know. I mean, you know, the thing is that, you know, everybody's got their limits. Everybody's got, you know, whatever works for them and stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the thing is, and that's the difference, is that, you know, you might wonder, well, am I missing out on something? Because they seem to have a lot of fun,
right?
You know?
I mean, love in life.
Yeah, you know, they're like experiencing every possible thing out there. So, you know, so kudos to them for that, you know. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know. I would never condone my kids to do it or anything. But mm-hmm. I also don't try not to judge people, you
yeah,
know. Because,
definitely.
I mean, look, it pays the bills. She's able to raise kids and stuff. And to her, sex is not a big deal.
And they're
you know?
Happy.
Yeah.
I think that's the main thing in life. I mean, if you're
yeah.
happy, then...
Exactly. You know, and they say on one of the shows, they say, relax, it's just sex, you know. And it's true. I mean, it's not like people should be shocked about it.
Yeah.
I mean, we're sexual beings,
mm-hmm.
you know.
People just hold it to such a high standard.
Right.
But that's society, and that's what...
And they make
Dana
it such taboo
about.
To talk about
yeah.
it and things like this and share things.
Mm-hmm.
And but when you think about it, I mean, we were given this as a gift. It's free to us. You know, we're sexual beings. That's how we survive. That's how we procreate. You know, why hide it?
Yeah.
So some people, yeah, they, you know, they go all out and they do kinky things and things that may be shocking to some other people. But, you know, they're exploring their expression. I mean,
yeah.
There's people that shock us with art, right? I mean, you can go to a museum or something, and sometimes they do things that seem really offensive.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't know, like, they'd have, like, elephant dung and or dung and things like that, you know, in a museum. It's like,
yeah,
come on, you know.
Exactly.
But, so it could offend people. I mean, people were being offended centuries ago by art and opinions about science and religion.
Exactly.
And like
these
that,
days,
you know?
Anything hurts everyone. Like, anything is
everybody gets
someone.
Offended by something,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you can't please everybody.
No.
But at the same time, that people have to understand that you can just change the dial, you know, go somewhere else, you know. You don't like what you see, change the station. You don't like what you're hearing, change to another channel, something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But don't just sit there and judge people and stuff because you don't know what they're going through.
Completely.
You don't know what their life is about. And if they, you know, the thing is that it's nice that we're free to make our own decisions in this country and not to have, you know, to worry about other people making decisions
completely.
For us.
Completely. That's, you know? Yeah. Our freedom of rights.
Yeah, exactly. You know, freedom of speech, of expression, of all these things. So, you know, I mean, if, like I said, you know, I do watch porn. I like it. But there's things that I will not watch. You know, like we're talking about bondage and torture and not torture. I mean, they call it like pretend and stuff, you know, like bondage and sadomasochism and stuff.
Yeah.
That stuff is not for me. You know, I mean, I could never subscribe to that. It doesn't do anything for me. But people do it and let them do it.
Some people, yeah.
Yeah, they need that stimulation, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, when you think about it, I think people are mostly screwed up around sexuality, you know. I mean, so many screw-ups in people express themselves in sexuality, you know.
Yeah.
And from, you know, things that happened when they were young until now, they express it in a sexual way, sometimes negatively and illegally, and these people should be taken care of, you know. But at the same time, it's, I guess because it's because we deal with it from such a young age that it just leaves a mark.
Right. And now, you know? Especially, I mean, porn, I mean, I was never allowed on the computer when I was little until, and then I would get like 15 minutes when I was 10. I don't know how long I got. But now it's like every young kid has an iPad and they're exposed to all this stuff.
They really are.
And they can get
know?
Anything they want and watch whatever they want.
That's why I think kids are a lot more sophisticated now because they have all that technology at their disposal, you know. And it, and you know, technology empowers, and for a kid to feel so empowered can be dangerous, you know, because they don't have
Completely.
The sense of responsibility
and the knowledge,
right?
Yeah,
right. The experience, yeah. So there's a lot of crazy things going on, but for me, it's just entertaining, and that's all that matters. Last night, actually, on the show, there was a French kiss with two girls, and. It's pretty exciting. It's titillating to see it in real life, you know? I'm telling you, men are like, there's no medication for that. There's no medicine. I mean, men are always going to be like this.
Right.
Yeah,
I agree.
Boys will be boys, like they say, right?
Completely.
All right, Charlotte. Well, have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Enjoy
you
that
too.
Wedding you're going
Thank
to.
Thank you. Happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. And thanks for all the wishes. I'm sure I'm going to get a lot more tomorrow and feel a little special.
Yes, you will do.
So, I think maybe for a change, I'll make a plan for my birthday, you know.
Yeah,
actually
I think you
do
should.
Things, you know, the whole day.
Uh-huh.
So,
I
you
think
know,
you should. Action-packed
maybe,
day.
Exactly. Maybe we'll spend some time at the beach. We'll see. Something.
That would be nice.
Horseback riding. Something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something
All right, everybody.
Different.
Yeah. Thanks for joining us, everyone, and we'll see you on Monday.
Bye.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte. Right here on LA Talk Radio.